Welcome to Adoption as a Choice, where you will hear from those with personal stories and industry experts all the facts and myths surrounding adoption. Whether you were thinking about adoption for your family or your child, be sure you are making the loving choice for all concerned. Let Mickey and her guest experts help you choose the right path. Now, here is your host, Mickey Shepherd.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Adoption as a Choice. I'm Mickey Shepherd. I'm your host. We're delighted to have you here today. I'm also a speaker, and I'm the author of In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be. I'd love to have you check it out. You can check it out on Amazon or on my website, which is at adoptionasachoice.com. Today, we have a couple of special guests. And before I introduce them, I want to tell you about the Dave Thomas Foundation, which is what led to our guest today. For those of you who don't know, the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is a national nonprofit, and they're dedicated to finding permanent homes for the more than 140,000 children waiting in North America's foster care systems. They were created by Wendy's founder, Dave Thomas, who was adopted. And the foundation implements evidence-based, results-driven national service programs, foster care adoption awareness campaigns, and innovative grant making. Through its signature program, Wendy's Wonderful Kids, the foundation supports the hiring of adoption professionals who implement the foundation's evidence-based, child-focused recruitment model. This model has been proven up to 3 times more effective at serving youth who have been in foster care the longest, and that includes teenagers, children with special needs, and siblings. More than 12,000 children now have loving homes and permanent families thanks to the Wendy's Wonderful Kids program and the foundation's generous donors. The foundation is in 14 states, and they announced expansion of its work in Mississippi in April and will grow from 1 recruiter to 10 recruiters by the end of the year. If you were listening to our guest last week, part of his background was he was a Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter for a couple of years, and had nothing but great things to say about it. The recruiters take on a caseload of 12 to 20 youth and are able to truly get to know them. If you'd like to support their mission, you can learn more at davethomasfoundation.org/give. You can also use any information you find on their website. Their website is loaded with lots of information. So we have today a family who adopted through the Dave Thomas Foundation. We have Jamar and Kamika Broom. They adopted 2 children. They were living in Mississippi at the time. And I'm going to let them tell you their story. So Jamar and Kamika, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
Yes, we're glad to be here.
And I'd like to do. Yeah, I want to have, let's start a little bit about how long you guys have been together.
It is going on 7 years fully, and is about to be 8 years, June 28th of this year.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And you lived in Mississippi prior to now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what led you to go to the Wendy's Wonderful Kids program?
Well, one of the biggest things is we always desire to have a family, and this opportunity was a blessing to us because my wife is at a point where when we tried the natural way, we've been having difficulties, but this was an open door for both of us, and we decided to walk through it and was blessed with our 2 children, Elias and Naya. So it was actually a wonderful opportunity.
Okay. So how did you meet them?
Well, I had a friend that at the time she was working for Mississippi Department of Human Services, and she was a social worker. And also I had another friend that was Miss Kenyatta. She was Wendy's
Wonderful
Recruiter.
Kids. Oh, okay.
And so she helped in the process of this, making our family a forever family. We had to foster first, and then after about 6 months, we were able to start the paperwork and the process for adoption. Because like my husband was stating, we were having fertility issues, and We had tried about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was happening. And so we saw this as an opportunity of God still allowing us to become parents through adoption.
Okay. How long were the children in foster care?
They were in foster care for 3 years before coming into our home, or before we met them. Because at the time, Elias was 3 years old when we first met them, and Naya was four. Elias, he was taken from the hospital straight into foster care because Naya was already in foster care.
Okay, so they were siblings.
Yes, they are siblings.
And then when they came to live with you, how old were they?
You said how old were they?
When they came to live with us, they were 3 and 4.
Okay. How old are they now?
9 and 10.
Wow. Wow. So when they came to live with you, did they come to live with you at first as foster parents with the intention of adopting? I want you to give me a little idea of how it works. How did the process work?
Well, the process with DHS, that's Department of Human Services, you have to foster to adopt before you can start the paperwork. It took us, I think we trained for about 8 weeks, and after those 8 weeks, our home was licensed. We went through a home study, and then from home study, after our home was licensed, you know, we were introduced to the state, and from that process, we started transitioning where they would come with us on the weekend, and then, you know, until they moved in, which they moved in August. Was this 2015? And so from there, we couldn't start the paperwork till that February 2016. And after the paperwork and everything got started, I was linked with the recruiter, which is Miss Kenyatta. She was Wendy's recruiter, and she also worked for the Thomas Foundation. In partnership, and so that's when she started, you know, sharing our unique, and from there, because we're not our children's first adoption, they were adopted once, and so we were their second adoption.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that. How did they handle that?
Well, at the time, they was younger, and during the time, the first adoptive parents, they were not very loving towards them, so they ended up being taken away from the home. And once we met our children, they was with a foster family at the time, and they had been fostering them for quite some time. So, and it was like my wife said, it was a smooth process, to be honest, because once we met them for the first time, it was like, these are our children. And they really became very attached to us because the demographics as well, the foster them was a Cajun family at the time. So them seeing us was like, these people look like me, and they just don't look like me. They seem like they care and desire to love me for me. So that opened up a whole lot. So the process with them was a whole lot smoother than what we anticipated. They really got attached to us from the beginning.
So that's a pretty traumatic beginning, even though I'm glad they were young. But
right.
So what changes have you seen in them since they first came to live with you to today?
I would say the biggest changes was them going from shy to more outspoken, as well as, you know, their physical growth and just them being comfortable with us and us being comfortable with them. I do believe, you know, that the compassion that we've shown them helped to nurture a lot of the trauma that they had been through. and actually giving them a voice to express how they really felt and how they really feel. As we continue to grow with them, not only were they like a blessing for us, or we were a blessing for them, but they were a blessing for us, because there were a lot of things that my husband and I, we were growing through as we were, you know, going on this journey with them. We went from no children to two. And so that was really, really big.
And then also look at the fact, like my wife was sharing, I believe one of the biggest things that really pulled them was just how an empathetic approach was towards them, meeting them where they were and loving them for who they are and going with them through that. Because one big thing I can say is consistency. They saw how consistent we were. It wasn't anything like we was. It wasn't anything fake. It was all real. We was consistent on a consistent basis. And by them receiving that on a daily basis, we got to see, like my wife say, from them coming out of their shell to being who they are and being embraced and loved for who they are.
That's fabulous. I mean, I can, you know, I know people talk about a picture that can say 1,000 words. The picture I have of your family says 1,000 words. I mean, it looks like a very happy, loving situation. So I think that's great. What do you see in their future? They're 9 and 10 now, and you've moved. You've moved from Mississippi to Texas, right?
Right.
So as a family, you just go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I see them being very open and also willing to help other people as we help them and as we grow. Our children have expressed, you know, like the things that they want to do when they grow up, and just having a role model, someone to look up to. And they're even considering adopting one day because they know their adoption story.
Oh, that's exciting. That is really exciting. Do you think, what about becoming teachers? Aren't you both, you both work at the school that your children attend, is that correct?
No, we they're students, but we're teachers. So they're actually in the elementary. We are in the high school setting at this time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. It must feel like all but four of you go to school.
But to answer your question, I do see them being teachers in their own areas, aware, predestined to prosper, and like they said, their own, that we encourage them to continue to manifest and work towards. And I see them being teachers in their own areas of expertise. So definitely having that serving nature, being a service to people, and being empathetic towards when they serve, meet people where they are. So equipping them with the right quality so that wherever they decide to flourish in, they have everything they need to prosper.
Oh, that's terrific. So, Mika, you wrote an article for the Dave Thomas Foundation blog called Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Want to tell us a little bit about that? We'll continue it after the break, but we have a little bit of time. We can start talking about it now.
Okay, sure. So Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. We've adopted the team mindset of everyone does their part from the beginning. That's the way our family was put together. I was looking at it more so like a puzzle. It's like we had a missing piece, and they came into our life and filled that piece. And so Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Our focus is that if we all are as a team, like a family, we will flourish, and we support each other. Like, there are some things that Eli likes, and there's some things that Naya doesn't like. We try to nurture that as well as, you know, with us. A part of our journey in parenting, it helps us to heal as well and do things differently. Like, come up with my husband and I. What we grew up around, maybe, to change their story. And so that was a part of the background of Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. We all have a dream, but it's going to take a team so we can achieve that dream.
Right. That's what families need to do. So have you, What would you say has been the biggest change in your life since you adopted?
I would say responsibility, valuing responsibility. Because, you know, when you don't have children, your responsibilities are not as demanding. You still have them. But right. when you have decided to sacrifice some individual personal things that you may have desired to do and say, I want to be a key asset in this child's life and give them some things that I didn't receive at their age and help or equip them, your responsibilities pick up. So just valuing the responsibility and actually getting to see it manifest before your eyes, you know, as you teach the children and guide them and lead them, and you get to see how the teachings that you have shared with them come to their actions and their choices. So it's a beautiful experience, and I would say for myself, like I said, valuing the responsibility that we've decided to carry out.
That's true. Well, remember the commercials that talk about a baby changes everything? A child changes everything in your life. I remember when we adopted, my biggest fear was I was going to forget there was a baby in the house. You know, I was in real estate. I would one day, don't let me just get in my car and realize, whoops. But that is what happens. Everything changes. It all turns into it's about them. It sounds like you guys have really been blossoming with your children as your family grows more together every single day. We want to talk more in a little bit about the whole journey and your move and how that's impacted them. I mean, moving from one state to another impacts everybody, but you always, you know, I don't know about you, but you always have this extra thing in your head about, you know, the children that you've adopted. You know, you want them to feel have permanence in their life. And so how have they adjusted to how it feels to be moving to Texas from Mississippi? And we'll continue that in just a second. We're going to take a quick break. We've been talking to Jamar and Kamika Brown, foster adopt parents from Texas. And they adopted through the Dave Thomas Foundation, Wendy's Wonderful Kids. We'll be back in just a bit. Stay tuned.
In a heartbeat, the miracle of a family that was meant to be by Mickey Shepherd is a delightful true story spanning several generations of families born out of love. Learn that it doesn't take biology to create a family. Understand that adoption is always a choice. And realize that the law of attraction is constantly at work. Pick up a copy on Amazon today. Need a speaker for an upcoming event? Mickey Shepherd is ready to speak up. Mickey is the author of In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be. She'll dispel the myths surrounding adoption and teach her audience why it doesn't take biology to create a family. Visit MickeyShepherdAuthor.com or call 845-733-8077 to book Mickey today. You're listening to Adoption as a Choice with Mickey Shepherd. If you have questions for Mickey or her guest, you can join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Now, back to the show. Here again is Mickey Shepherd.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Adoption as a Choice. I'm Mickey Shepherd, your host. And today we've wanted to highlight the Dave Thomas Foundation and their Wendy's Wonderful Kids program. Earlier on, when I mentioned that they had 14 states, they're actually in all the states, U.S. and Canada, they have 500 Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiters, but the 14 states are where they're totally scaled. The other reason we wanted to do this today was that this is National Foster Month, and it seemed appropriate to have a foundation like the Dave Thomas Foundation and Wendy's Wonderful Kids highlighted, and to have a family who's been through this whole experience and their children have been growing. So they've had time to really understand the whole concept of what they took on. And it sounds like they're really thrilled about it. Jamar and Kamika Brown, we were talking about the fact that when once you adopted your two children, you were in Mississippi, and recently, I believe it's recently, you tell us, you moved to Texas. What prompted the move?
So the biggest thing for this move was to provide a better opportunity for our entire family. Texas had more to offer than where we were in Mississippi, especially for our career choices. And it was a good move. And the way we worked with our children in this move, we prepared them for the move before we actually made the move. So we asked them how they felt about it. They shared their opinion. They shared what they're looking forward to. They shared some things that may be a con or something that they may be looking at. And we sat down and actually talked and shared. And before we made the move, everyone was in a place where this is a move for everyone. So it was better to prepare than react. And it made the move a whole lot smoother than what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Moving is traumatic on people, grown-ups and children. But, you know, it's like anything, if you prepare for it, it makes it a little easier. So how have they been? You know, how long have you been in Texas?
We've been in Texas since December of 2021. We moved here mid-December, and we've been in our current place since January. And so when we moved to Aubrey, we were still homeschooling in Aubrey, Texas. And midway in January, we decided to pursue our careers again, which is teaching. And in pursuing our careers, we were looking for our children to return back to the traditional school setting. Mm-hmm. And so they have been adjusting very well. Their teachers are wonderful in working with us to ensure that they are getting everything that they need. Because, like I said, we have been homeschooling for a minute since before leaving Mississippi. And they were still on grade level, and they were still advancing.
Were you homeschooling because of COVID or because you decided to homeschool?
Yes, we decided to homeschool due to COVID. And my husband started out schooling them at the time because I was in a master's program. And that was 2020. And so we started homeschooling them, and I'll let him share on that.
Okay.
Yes, we were blessed with the opportunity to capitalize on the pandemic, and we was actually able to homeschool our children. And during this time, me and my wife figured up a plan that would work best for us and our family, and our children was fully on board. Because at the time, the school district was trying to figure everything out, but we took it in our hands to make a plan that works for our family. And it was an enjoyable time to get to be not just dad, but teacher as well. Mm-hmm. And, implement those things, and also not just be teacher, but be pastor as well, too, because we did implement learning about Jesus and everything within it as well. And that helped develop their own personal relationship with their faith. So it was really a reward time. And they truly enjoyed it, and they still enjoy the homeschool setting because we learned a lot of things from that setting, and we still apply to how we interact with our children to this day. So it's been very well, and I believe that helped build them to be at a place to be more understanding and empathetic with things that go on around them. So when they went back into the public school, it was pretty much at a healthier place emotionally. They knew some things that other kids may not have known. Plus, they had that time with their parents that most kids don't get like that. Right. So it was really, really satisfying for all of us.
No, I agree with that. I think that's fabulous. And I love what you said, that you decided to capitalize on the pandemic. You know, that was, you saw an opportunity for your family and took it, which I commend you for. Now, you're both working now, and why don't you, Jamar, what do you do? You're both working at the high school. What exactly do you do?
Ma'am, I am a behavior specialist. I work with the at-risk youth, and we are spearheading a new program here at the high school that focuses on redirecting to you, giving them some different coping skills, behavior modification skills, and also helping them get to back a healthier place in their academics all at once. So it's a beautiful experience when you get to work with these youth who will have been labeled, have been counted out, and basically taking out the labels at the student as a person. So it's good to have that restoring phase within the student, and it's a privilege for me to do that. So that's what I do here. My wife can share what she does.
Yes, please.
Hi, so I am a special education teacher. I am licensed here in Texas, and I provide academic services for students that are taking Algebra 1 as well as Geometry. My focus is to ensure that the students have the accommodations or modifications that they need to be at grade level or above grade level, and that's helping to close in those gaps and deficits that some of them may have already had prior to pandemic, but definitely, it grew since 2020. And so not just, like my husband was stating, not just, as far as academics, but also behavioral concerns. And I do believe that adoption really helped us with tying those things all together and like working with not just our children, but children that we encounter on a daily.
That makes a lot of sense. It does. So when you, I was looking at the article that you had written about the teamwork, and one of the things you said there was that they had to work hard to heal the behaviors that are expressed when a child has experienced significant trauma and inconsistency, and that you started a chart and taught them self-control. Tell me about the chart.
Say it again.
Sorry, could you repeat
the chart? The chart that you made to, it says you started a behavior chart and taught the children self-control. What was the chart about? It may help other families. They may be able to copy your model.
Absolutely. So the chart was keying in on our students like following directions the first time given, as well as it was a color chart. So we used what was it, green, yellow, and red. So, like, red was, like, stop. So, it was giving them an opportunity to stop and think. And then, like, green, we also utilize this chart. More so the colors came from, like, the traffic light so that it'll be, like, transparent as far as real life, too. But using their behaviors, like, okay, what are some things that we can work on? Like, yellow was cautious. Like I said, like following directions the first time given. I'm trying to think of the goals that we were channeling. My husband can help with that.
Yes, the behavior chart my wife was sharing on was basically, it was a tool that we needed to separate the behavior from our child. So that way we can pinpoint the behavior, not label a child or any specific child or person that this is who you are. No, this is the choice you made outside of who you are. How can we help you make a better option? How can we encourage and empower you to make better choices? How can we positively reinforce what we are desiring, the choices that we desire for you to make that will continue to allow your behavior to modify what we're looking for? And that was a good strategy that we came up with. Our children absolutely loved it. We used the color system because at the time they was younger and the school was using the color system that they was attending. So we just modified it to work for our family, but still use the similar color system. So that way they know this is what color that they get in the classroom, if that makes sense. So it really did a lot to allow them to observe the behavior that they were choosing to do, and also look at, okay, maybe I can choose this option next time when it happens. That way I can learn from it and I can get this color. So it was very motivating, a good positive reinforcement strategy.
No, it sounds like it. And I think people will take your idea and run with it. You know, that's the best thing when you're trying to change behavior is to find a game or something that's encouraging. But it sounds like that's what you did. What would you say to other people who are thinking about becoming part of a foster program or foster adopt program?
Okay. I would say go for it. Don't look back and separate what you may have heard about adoption to something that you actually can experience, because every child is different. Just like, you know, in my current role, individualized education plans is what I take over. So I would say I look at that even with a child. Every child is different, so you have to approach the situation different. You can't expect, you know, one child to be like the next child, even if they are siblings or even if they were twins. But if your heart desires to adopt, then don't let someone else's opinion start you away from that. It's been very rewarding. And I don't know another way.
That's good. No. And I just pretty much like the song with my wife shared. It was really good. Basically, drop the expectation and meet them where they are. If you're willing to stay open and meet them where they are, you can go far and you will enjoy the journey.
You will enjoy the journey. I totally agree with you. Our situation was a little different. We adopted our son at birth, but it is different and it's incredibly rewarding. And you're growing as a family. It's pretty important. Do you think, are any of the children that you're working with at school, are any of them in the foster program?
Yes. I have a few that are in the foster system. I have a few that have been a part of the foster system, have some relations to it and affiliation. I have one currently. She was in and out of different foster homes. She doesn't even have a permanency. So that in itself can be stressful and depressing. And that weighed on the student heavily, because she never knows when this family is going to say, okay, I'm done with you, you can move on. And that was really taxing. So yes, we have seen the effects on the negative side, but we also have seen effects on the positive side. How one student was grateful that he was a part of a foster home, and the foster parents were phenomenal. And if it wasn't for them, he wouldn't be where he is today. So you see both sides of the picture.
Right. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I have always told people, you know, that all children go through things, whether they're adopted, they're foster children, or they're not. And it's normal. But it's how we deal with those things, and we don't want to deal with them differently. The reason I asked, though, about the if you were working with any children that had been experiencing or had experienced foster, is because 20,000 children age out of the foster system every year. And that to me is something that we really want to bring awareness to, that there are so many children looking for a permanent home, and many may be teenagers. But if you haven't considered it and you have a desire to have an expansion of your family, it might be something you want to look into, just so that people have that place before they do age out. Do you agree? I mean, do you think people would be more open when they realize how many children just are not getting a permanent home?
Yes, I agree, because I also have seen where I have a couple of seniors this year that they're actually, you know, where graduation for some is exciting, but for some students that are in foster care, they're scared, because, you know, it's like they're at a point, like a crossroad in their life where they don't have a family to go to, you know, after they get out of high school. It's kind of like, okay, so what's next, you know? And so I just say, you know, I think long-term, and that's another thing that we built our foundation on, and that was love. We believe, you know, love is what makes a family. And so, you know, we've even considered adopting again soon. So we're just trusting the process with that. And again, like I stated, there are students that, you know, they don't have that person. That, you know, or they may not feel wanted, you know, so just providing them the safety of
having a family to call their forever family.
Exactly, exactly. That's really, when I read that statistic a while back, that's what the first thing I thought of was, when the children are aging out of the system before they find a permanent home, who do you go home to? Where do you spend holidays? You know, just all the things you don't think about when you have a family. We've been talking with Jamara and Tamika Brown. They're foster adopt parents who adopted through the Wendy's Wonderful Kids program from the Dave Thomas Foundation. I want you to stay tuned. We'll be back in a little bit. We'll have some final thoughts and some final advice. See you in a bit.
In a Heartbeat, the miracle of a family that was meant to be by Mickey Shepherd is a delightful true story spanning several generations of families born out of love. Learn that it doesn't take biology to create a family. Understand that adoption is always a choice. And realize that the law of attraction is constantly at work. Pick up a copy on Amazon today. Need a speaker for an upcoming event? Mickey Shepherd is ready to speak up. Mickey is the author of In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be. She'll dispel the myths surrounding adoption and teach her audience why it doesn't take biology to create a family. Visit MickeyShepherdAuthor.com or call 845-733-8077 to book Mickey today. You're listening to Adoption as a Choice with Mickey Shepherd. If you have questions for Mickey or her guest, you can join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Now, back to the show. Here again is Mickey Shepherd.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Mickey Shepherd, and you are listening to Adoption as a Choice. Our guests today are Jamar and Tamika Broom, and they're living in Texas right now. They have adopted two children through the foster program and mentioned at the end of the last segment that they're open to adopting again, which is very exciting news. Keep growing your family. So, you said that when you first adopted, the children had been adopted previously. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yes, in their pre-adoption, our children, Naya at the time, she was one, and Elias was like an arm baby straight from the hospital. And mm-hmm. so during that time, she was abused. And so from that family, she was removed and placed back into the foster care system. And she was fostered up until she was four. Up until, you know, she moved in with us, and she was free to adopt when they first moved in. Both kids were. The parent rights had already been terminated, not just from the birth parents, but the adoptive parents as well. And so that made our process faster as well, because once they came into the home, they were, like I said, they were already free to adopt before we even started the fostering process. We just had to still wait 6 months.
Right.
Before the paperwork could start.
Mm-hmm. Now, so go ahead.
I was going to say, and from there, so those first 6 months were really like, you know, getting to know them, making sure that, you know, we were all adjusting, and we knew that when the day they moved in, that this was what we were wanting. We knew from the beginning that we wanted them there forever. So it was mm-hmm. not like we wanted to foster and then, you know, make a decision. Our decision was already made before they ever came.
You could feel it, right?
Okay. Yes.
Their birth parents, are they aware of who they are?
Well, their birth is. Their birth father is not. Birth mom did reach out about 2 months into our babies moving in with us. Mm-hmm. And so during that time, you know, we really just didn't have conversation because, again, we were still going through the process of getting to the paperwork. And so we wanted everything to be smooth. And so we just kind of kept it limited, very limited contact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
And so, you know, that was kind of hard. But when some behaviors did come about when we first moved to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, I did communicate with Bert's mom through Facebook Messenger, just so that we can know, like, background information as far as our children and their bloodline, as far as any, like, things that we may need to take them to the doctor about, like, you know, from some behaviors, academic struggles, any of that information. I wanted to keep the connection so that, you know, that information will be known, because that's another thing when you go to a doctor and you're not really knowing the child's background, you know. Mm-hmm. That was kind of alarming for me in the beginning, because we really didn't know much information about them. They were so young. So some things were not known up front.
And I know we touched on this earlier, but why were they in foster program to begin with?
They were in the foster program due to neglect and abuse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's why your son was actually taken right from the hospital to foster care. Isn't that what you told me?
Right. Yes, because Maya was already in the foster care system. Mm-hmm. And so so from her being already in the foster care system, then, you know, he was taken from the hospital straight into foster care. But at the time, like I said, the first adoptive family had already adopted Naya, and so they were looking to adopt the baby, which was Elias at the time, so that they could keep them together. And so when we were presented with the same opportunity to keep them together, we made room. We had we were in a two-bedroom home, and one of the bedrooms was an office, and we changed that office into another bedroom to make room so that we could keep our kids together.
Oh, that sounds good. It sounds like it was the right path for you, the right path for your children. Are they involved in, like, extracurricular activities like sports or other things at school?
Well, at this time, they're not participating in the extracurricular, but they are moving forward in some of the things of their talents they have. Like, they're about to start, Eli is about to start drum lessons, and Naya is going to start a piano lesson. So that's going to be something looking forward to in the summer. And also, we're doing public speaking lessons so they can be being more confident with their speech and building them up in those areas. So they're definitely doing that.
So these two shy little children have been blossoming in your family for these years, it sounds like. So. What do they like to do for fun?
Naya loves to sing, and Elias loves to dance. And they both, like I said, they work closely together. They're very protective of each other. And I'll let my husband speak some more.
Yes, characteristics are very unique. Like you said, Mom, it actually has been opposite now. In certain times, Naya used to be the shy one. She used to be very shy. I'd say observant. If she talked to you, it's because she had a positive outlook on you. She really just didn't talk to everybody. But now that's completely opposite. She's very open. She doesn't mind sharing, and she doesn't mind talking. She doesn't mind engaging. Eli, at times, with certain people, he doesn't, but he still has that positive, joyful, cheerful attitude. That's always been him. When he step in the room, he lights it up. It's pretty much who he is. So it's been pretty good, and it's glad to see that they're both moving in a better direction. They're completely out of shells, and they're still growing, and they're willing to grow. And the way we have been able to parent them is to allow them to respect one another and value one another. So no matter where they are, they know they have each other, and they have adopted that mindset so they can play well together. It can be just them out there. They're playing like 20 other kids out there. So it's a blessing to see that they're so in tune with one another, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
It does. No, it does. Siblings do that. You know, that's pretty cool. Are they good about making friends, especially since you've moved?
Yes,
they're both very social. So, I would say, like, Naya, she's like a little social butterfly. she always looks out for, you know, the other kids, just other people in general. That's one of her gifts. She loves to help. And she was very nurturing from the beginning up until now. She's very nurturing toward Elias. Naya is our oldest. She's 10, and so she was like a little mama figure for Elias for a long time. And he's very protective of his sister. And he's learning how to share her with other, you know, other kids and other people.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So how do they feel about the future, about the possibility of having more brothers and or sisters?
They are very excited. In fact, Elias made a comment and he was like, "Mom, can we just go to the store? I'll save my money so we can buy us a baby." And so I told him, you know, son, if it really worked like that, well, we'd have a lot of kids, you know. But, yes, so they're very excited. They're ready to be big brothers, big sisters. And so we've just been, you know, praying through it, and they're on board with how that would look, you know. And that was one of the things that I was kind of worried at first. I was like, okay, so, you know, when that time does come, I don't want them to feel left out. And so we already are planning and talking about, you know, how that would look and how, you know, no matter what happens, nothing will take their place. We love you the same, you know. Mm-hmm. We love you as well as Naya and whatever or whoever else, you know, comes along in our life and in our family. We're still a team, you know.
Oh, I love
and
that
And I think
concept.
That's really big.
Yeah. So there, whoops. I want to have you have any thoughts that you really believe people should know about how to do this, why, how it works, why you recommend it.
Why do I recommend adoption?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your question? Why do I recommend adoption?
Yeah, you've been through a really interesting experience because you fostered first for a while and while you were waiting to adopt, you've adopted. You've moved, your children are growing, seems like they're blossoming, and you're considering more children. So I think there are people out there that might want to know, okay, so you've adopted two children. Obviously, it's really been working out as a family with challenges, but all families have challenges. But now you're considering growing, right? So just kind of your in a nutshell, things about it that you want to make sure people know.
I would like for people to know that becoming parents doesn't always look like what we may have before, as far as like being in a hospital bed. Our baby was not handed to us, or our children were not handed to us by a doctor, but the judge made the decision, and we, you know, God allowed us to choose them, and they were able to choose us as their parents. And so that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty much sharing from my wife's perspective on how there's power in your choice. We had an opportunity to do something that the creator of the universe did for us. He chose to adopt us in his family. So you have an opportunity to actually move in that area and do it as well. So that in itself was revolutionary for me, and it was basically helped me understand that I get to do something that my creator did. And doing that, sharing that with our children, unconditional love we have for them. No matter if you make a poor decision, I still love you. If you make a great decision, I love you. I uniquely love you for who you are. and I'm willing to guide you along the way to become who you was predestined to be. So basically what I leave with anyone is that for a family of this caliber, through it all, that's what you need to have in your heart. No matter what, my love will not shift for you. I love you for who you were uniquely created to be. And that's my take on that.
Yeah, well, that's a great take. It's beautiful. Many of our listeners may have questions along the way. Are you open to them contacting you somehow, maybe Facebook or someplace else?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So if they we are open for that, because I know that was a scary journey for us, but it was very, very rewarding, and that's a path that we are so glad that we were able to take, and we are looking and willing to take it, you know, as many times as you know, necessary, so that children can have a better, they can have a better life, and that they experience how love makes us family and not blood.
You got it. That's one of the messages in my book, is it doesn't take biology to create a family. And so how would they reach you?
They can reach us via Facebook. Right now, that's our social contact, and we will be having a website soon, and I can share that information going forward.
Okay, great. Jamar, you open to that too? Put you on the spot.
Ma'am?
Are you open to contact as well?
Yes. Okay. By all means. You can reach me on Facebook, and like my wife Sharon, we'll have a website coming soon, and we'll definitely share that. That way you can reach us there as well.
That's excellent. I really appreciate you both being here today. We've been talking to Jamar and Kamika Broom, and then also we were highlighting the Dave Thomas Foundation. If you want to know more about the foundation, you can go to davethomasfoundation.org. And if you'd like to keep this conversation going, I'd love to hear from you. You go to the show page for Adoption as a Choice. You can send me an email or go to my website, which is adoptionasachoice.com. And if you have a story or you know someone who has a story that in any way relates to adoption, we'd love to hear it. That's the whole purpose of what we're doing on Adoption as a Choice. We are trying to raise awareness about adoption. And we've really been fortunate to be able to talk about the Foster Adopt program today. And that's why I'm so grateful for our guests and for the Dave Thomas Foundation for introducing us. Jamar and Kamika, you have a lovely family. The love comes through the phone. It also comes through the photo that you sent. So I want to thank you again for being here today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Until next time, this is Mickey Shepherd. You've been listening to Adoption as a Choice, and share it with your friends at adoptionasachoice.live. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Adoption as a Choice with Mickey Shepherd. We hope today's program will help you feel more comfortable making a decision to adopt or making the decision to seek adoption for your own child. We look forward to hearing from you next time. Have a beautiful week.